Praise the Lord. We're happy to be back here again at God's dining table. Amen. Feasting upon the riches of His Word. The Word tonight will be on the three heavens. I want you to turn your Bibles with me. First of all, to Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 14. Before we read, let me give you an understanding of what we're going to talk about. There are three heavens, three realms that are called heaven. And I'm going to deal with these three realms because it has a definite reference to us. In other words, I wouldn't be dealing with any subject unless we were going to be blessed by it, unless we were going to be lifted up by it. So we're going to deal with these three realms called heaven. And as I have shown many times, the Word of God is dimensional. And every time you read your Bible, you have to ask yourself, what dimension am I hearing? What is God talking about? And so, if you see a word in the Bible, you can't say, well, because the word means that over there, it means this over here. There's a version of translation which you have, which puts the same meaning on every word of the same word, put the same meaning on it. And I mean, there's nothing so wrong. If in your English you put the same meaning on every time you speak a certain word, you'll find that you are way out sometimes. Amen. Now, I'm going to read for you this here to prove to you that there are three heavens. Verse 14, behold, the heaven and the heaven of heaven is the Lord thy God, the earth also with all that therein is. And it's not an isolated scripture. Turn to Psalm 115. Psalm 115 and in verse 16, here is a contrast between heaven and earth. 115 and verse 16. Here we are, the heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth hath He given to the children of men. Praise God. There is another reference about the heaven of heavens, but we could be satisfied with that. Now, I'm going to draw on the board three circles representing the three heavens. And I'm going to start reading from Genesis. Let's turn around to Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, verse 1, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, what heaven was that He created? Now, if God lives in heaven, then if He created a heaven, it couldn't have been where He lived. So, it would seem to me that this is referring to the starry heavens. Now, the next one, let's get another reference that refers to another heaven. Turn around to Revelation chapter 12. There are many, many references, you know. I'm just getting the most convenient ones. Revelation chapter 12. And verse 5. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. That's another heaven. Caught up to God and to his throne. So we put another heaven here, the invisible realms of God. Hallelujah. Now, if there is an invisible heaven, then strange enough, there must be a visible heaven. So we look again on the same chapter here, and we see here, and there, verse 7, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. Now, it would seem to me that there is a heaven that is imperfect, that there is war. Let's make sure before we put to anything there, turn your Bibles around to Revelation Revelation 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, blessed, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be their God, be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Now, this gives us an impression that in God's invisible realm of heaven, there is no death. You agree with me? There is no pain. There is no sorrow. But this other heaven has death, has pain, has sorrow. Amen. Let's go back to chapter 12 and read something more about this heaven. For many people, I see people go about preaching about heaven, and somebody started to preach, and immediately he didn't know the difference between which heaven was being spoken of. And you can imagine the mess that would be made of it. They came out with the doctrine that the devil is still in heaven. The devil is still in a heaven. But which of the heavens is he in? And what is it that God is calling his heaven? Remember, heaven is what? The dwelling place of God. Heaven is the dwelling place of God. So anywhere God dwells, that is heaven. Now, let's go back on this one. Chapter 12, verse 1. And there appeared a great wonder. Where? In heaven. A woman clothed with the sun. Now, the Bible said, Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said that there is neither male nor female in heaven. But here we read that there's a woman in heaven. So it couldn't have been the same heaven both people were talking about. This man asked Jesus, said, Jesus, if a man had seven wives, seven sons married to the same wife. Each one died, and the other one married to this woman. When they get to heaven, whose wife will it be? Jesus said, in heaven, they don't marry or give them in marriage, because there's no sex in heaven. He said, everything is so changed that they are like angels, without sex. All right. So that gives us an idea that there's no women in heaven. Is that good news or bad? And no men either. So since that is the case, how come this scripture said this woman was in heaven, and she, worse than that, she was crying, and she being with child cried, travailed in birth and pain to be delivered? Now it shows another heaven that is imperfect. It shows a heaven realm that is not yet cleansed and delivered. Amen. Now, let's call that the imperfect heaven. Now, so we have three realms there. There appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon. Verse 3, great red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns, and seven crowns upon his head, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman. Now somebody is saying in your heart, oh, that is from Satan was in heaven, some long time ago. Now, I'm going to blow that theory right now. If you turn with me around to chapter 1 of Revelation. Chapter 1, and the very first verse destroys that theory. Very first verse. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, Jesus Christ, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. So that's no past in it. What we are reading about is something that must happen and come to pass in the future, not in the past. Now, we see, therefore, let us try to define what we have so far read. This heaven, in number one position there, first circle, is the starry heaven, the sky, the stars and the moon and the sun. We call that the heaven. And that is referred to several places in scripture. Now a place I can give you a scripture for that apart from Genesis. Turn around to Psalm, is it Psalm 8? What's it? Psalm 8. Yeah. Is it Psalm, not Psalm 8, which says, the heaven declare the glory of God. That's 19?
Yes.
All right. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. And if you read on, it says, day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of her chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run his race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and the circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Speaking of the sun traveling through the whole, all the galaxies in one day. Of course, you know, we know a little better than that, that the sun doesn't travel through, but the things turn around. Now, we go back to this thought then. So, we see a scripture for that. Now, the invisible heaven of God, many scriptures speak of God who is in heaven. Let's look, for instance, up in Matthew chapter 6, and where Jesus asked, where the disciples asked Jesus to give them a prayer. Lord, teach us how to pray. And the first thing he said in verse 9, after this manner therefore pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallelujah. So we see then that this speaks of God as being in heaven. But isn't it peculiar that God is in heaven and yet God is here? The Bible said Jesus Christ was the embodiment of the Father. Let's turn around. John chapter 14. Verse 5. Thomas wants to know where the Father is. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the way, and the Father is the place where he was going. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believe thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Now he was saying, Jesus was saying, that the Father lived in him. But something greater than that. He didn't say that when the Father lived in him, therefore when he took off from that mountaintop, he took the Father with him. No. You read a little further on. Look at verse 22 and 23. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus said, well, let me tell you how it will be done. If a man love me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we, Father and I, will come unto him and make our abode within him. If you are the King James, it says with him. I translate it within him. Now, I'll give you something else to prove that it's within and just not with, you know. Turn around to Revelation chapter 14. And you see where the perfect people who had come forth in the perfection of Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 1. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name And if you want to add on the true meaning of this, you put on and his name. It's two, Patros are two, his father's name and his name written in their forehead. His father's name and his name written in their forehead. Now that's symbolic language. It means that in their mind, in their soul, they had the nature of both Jesus and the Father. Hallelujah. So, you can see then what we're talking about, God dwelling in heaven. How come the Father is dwelling in heaven and he's also dwelling in you? How can it be possible? Sure, with God it is possible. I tell you something. When the Bible shows you that God is in heaven, it means that every place that he claims as heaven, he's also in there. Therefore, this third realm of heaven, the imperfect heaven, is within you. That's the heaven that is imperfect. This heaven is being perfected. And this heaven, we are going to analyze this heaven. And we are going to see where God dwells in this heaven. And we are going to look at it tonight and see the beauty of what God is saying to us about this heaven tonight. Now, let us just see if we can really understand something, a few points about this invisible realm where God dwells. God is spirit. And because God is spirit, if he dwells in a place, the place must be a spiritual place. Amen. It's not possible, or it's not necessary for a spirit to have to dwell in a natural place. Praise God. Now, because God is spirit, then he must dwell in a spiritual realm. Now, the realm in which God dwells is so charged with power. It's so charged with energy and life that if we appear or come before him, we would be dissolved. Our natural flesh, our natural minds, our natural souls, our natural body, spirit couldn't stand the power of God. Amen. I'm going to explain this thought and show you it in the Bible. You notice that everything I say so far, I show you it in the Bible. Now, let's dwell on this thought a little more. God is light. You remember that scripture? What is light? Energy. Energy. Therefore, God is abundant energy, dwelling on a higher plane, higher frequency, of such magnitude and power that we could not stand, that the angels can't. Amen. God has to put between himself and his angels some sort of spiritual insulation so that they be not destroyed by his presence. But God had to find a way to come into man. Therefore, what God did was to use Jesus Christ as his means of transportation to earth. In other words, God diluted himself. Struggling for words. God broke himself down to our standard. Now turn your Bibles with me to Ezekiel And we look in chapter 28. And we get an idea here of what heaven is like. Ezekiel 28 goes along with Isaiah 14. Let's read here the 14th verse. God describing Lucifer. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. I'll explain that to you. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as a profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. I want you to notice the second time the mention of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty, and thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground, I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, it shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. Now, God is speaking in spiritual language here, and many of us, it's difficult for us to understand. But let's just explain a few phrases here. The stone of fire. Now, the Bible speaks of you as what? A lively stone. Hallelujah. Not like a dead old stone outside there, but a lively stone. And the greatest, the liveliest stone that God could think of is what we call, a diamond, a ruby, beryl, and he named 12 lively stones to show the 12 different natures of life that could be in a stone, just to give you the idea of what kind of stone God thinks you are. Follow me? Now, this is why he said these were stones of fire, meaning to say they were beings that had energy and life coming out of them. And he said he was the covering cherub that overshadowed heaven with his power and his glory. Now turn to the 14th chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 14. Now, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? Now, if Lucifer fell from the highest heaven, every other heaven in which he lodges is going to fall from it again, because the word of God. Come, let's go over that slowly and see if you understand it. The word of God says Lucifer fell from heaven. That means if he fell from one heaven, every other heaven that he occupies, that word of God is going to pursue him until he falls from that heaven. Now, again, I'll tell you, heaven is the dwelling place of God. God is preparing your spirit, soul, and body as his dwelling place. And this is a heaven. You are that imperfect realm of heaven which I'm talking about. So, let's go on a little further here. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. You know what I mean by the stars? He's speaking of the sons of God. They are the stars. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation of the sides of the north. Now listen to this verse 40. This is very, very, very meaningful. I will ascend above the height of the cloud. Now imagine, he's talking about heaven and he's talking about clouds in heaven. What is he talking about anyhow? I'll tell you. I will be like the Most High. Now, let me give you an idea of what heaven is like. There, in this realm of heaven, the glory of God beams down to his creature. That's heaven number one. Under here we had another heaven. We had another heavenly realm here, second heaven. And in that heaven you had angels like Lucifer. You had Michael. You had Gabriel. Those are three that we know. But many, many more. Can it be seen? See, those are three we know. But there are many, many more in the scriptures, because the scripture said there were many more bright ones. Now, then this is the heaven, the third heaven. And this is the place where Paul went. See, we are all the spirits of men and angels are. All the host of God, angels and men. Now, these things I have drawn there, they do not represent places in the natural sense that this town is a place. Forest is a place. Colfax is a place. Bloomington is a place. And they are always in the same position. Now, this is not like heaven. That heaven is a frequency of the spirit, a realm upon which certain spiritual beings dwell of the same order. Can you understand that? I asked God one day to explain to me, what? How can I understand heaven? He said, well, it's like we are in this room and there are sounds in this room that none of us can hear. But you take a radio and you switch that radio on and sounds blaze out of it. Was it that the sound just came in there when you switched the radio on? No, the sounds were here, but we couldn't hear it. Our ears are not on that frequency. We are in a different world. You see, but that is the contact between that high frequency sound and our ears. So it is that the spirits of God are here. But they are minding their own business. They are in another realm. And so the devils are here too. Amen. And these spirits have the privilege of coming down into our realm. Amen. Coming down into our realm. So we can see here that this is what we mean by heaven. So God himself dwells on such a high frequency and such a high plane that we cannot reach onto it except we go through the Christ and into the Father. You follow what I mean? So what is happening to you? The frequency of your mind and your soul is being increased. That's what's happening to you. Our mind, as we come into the mind of Christ, the frequency increases, and do you know what happens? You will start seeing things in the other world. That sounds spooky. No, it's simple. I've seen visions. Sometimes you go to bed, you have dreams. Your spirit is making excursions into the other world. And if you watch carefully these dreams and these visions, it will deliver you from many a problem. Yes, sir. We have seen times when we would have got into accidents. We had a dream or a vision that told us exactly. One day we were going down the road, driving an old car, going into Pennsylvania, and Mavis saw a vision of the left front wheel dropping right off. The whole car went down in our vision. But I didn't have to see a vision, for I had the steering in my hand. And I knew the wheel was dropping off. I didn't know how soon. So I prayed and said, "Oh God, just let us reach to the next town where we can get into a garage." And so I kept on driving very slowly. We finally reached the town. I went into the garage, parked the car. They put the car up on the rack. And when they lift up the car, what do you think dropped off? I won't tell you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Those men, they almost died of laughter. So how you got in here? You know, we got in there without looking. Now, praise God. So Paul said he went into the third heaven. And you can then see he went into a place where men were, where the spirits of just men made perfect were. He went into a place where angels were, where men were learning and going into the deep things of God, which they didn't do while they were on earth, but their living souls were getting into it. The glory and the blessing which they missed while they were down here. That's what he saw there, a big school. Now, you're going to ask me the questions afterwards. So if you think you're going to forget, you take a note of any question you want to ask me as soon as we're through here. Now, we go on. So we see then that there was a cloud in heaven. And as I drew that, it was an insulation between God and his creatures, that his great power wouldn't hurt them. You know, once I asked the Lord, I said, "God, you know, some brethren are preaching that the devil was going to be saved." And I said, "Well, after all, God, why couldn't you take the devil into heaven? Why couldn't you take all the people who go to hell and take them out of hell and put them in heaven?" I said, you could do anything you wanted. God said to me, he said, "If I took the devil out of hell and put him into heaven, it would be worse than hell could ever be for him. For the devil doesn't want heaven. The devil hates God. He doesn't want God. No matter what God do for him, he doesn't want that. He wants what he's doing. He wants his condition." And God further gave me a word which I tell you, it was something to me because I never heard that before. He said, "Hell is God's extreme mercy." Can you understand that? Beings that don't want God, "I don't want you," God finally drops the curtain and leave them alone, because his presence is hurted. So he finally drops the curtain and let them have their way, and that is hell. So praise be to God. We go back to this. So then we see what this invisible realm of God is like. And then we see God dwelling in all the heavens, but in the concentration of his power, he is in this realm. And he comes out of this realm in little quantities where we can receive. So you will receive as much God as you open your mind and your emotions and your will and your desire to receive. So here we are. All God's business is divided in threes. And the threes are divided in threes, and the threes in threes, and it goes right down into infinity. As I say, the atom is the smallest thing that we can see, and it is divided in threes. Everything God made is divided in threes. So we look at this now. We are going to analyze this heaven. This heaven is man. Man is God's dwelling place. You believe that? Let me give you a scripture for that before, just a quick scripture. Turn to Jeremiah 31. And in verse 31 to 33. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them out of the land of bring them out of the land of Egypt, which covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, said Lord, I'll put my law in their inward parts. This word inward part means soul. And write it in their heart, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Many, many scriptures like that. Amen. And when the Holy Ghost comes to man, then man's spirit, God, heaven, has come down into man's spirit. And this is spirit. This is man's spirit, man's soul, and man's body. But the power from on high comes down into your spirit. And when you are filled with the Spirit, you are filled with the Spirit in your spirit. Another scripture for that, we won't look it up, I'll just quote it. And His Spirit beareth witness with your spirit that ye are the sons of God. So, here we are. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit comes into your spirit. And do you know what happens when that happens? This heaven is perfected. This one third of your heaven is perfected. And so you become perfect in the Spirit. You become perfect in the Spirit. You turn around to Hebrews 12 and you get a scripture for that. Hebrews 12, a scripture for that. And it says here, verse 23, to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn which are written in heaven, and to God the judge, and to the spirit of just men made perfect. Amen. So God intends to make your spirit perfect here and now. And bless God, if you die and you didn't get it done here, and you are saved, you accept Jesus as your Savior, when you go yonder, your spirit will be joined with the Spirit of God, and you will get to be perfect in the Spirit. Only thing, it's so wonderful to be filled with the Spirit here, so that you can do the job that God wants you to do down here. Amen. You see that point? There is no problem. I mean, if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost and you die, you go to heaven while you accept Jesus as your Savior. But if you're filled with the Holy Ghost here, then you have the privilege of doing some of the perfecting right here. Amen. The job starts here. Now, so then, what is this Spirit is going to do now? Once you get perfection inside of you, you are not yet perfect, but you can operate perfectly because your mind is your soul, part of your soul, and your emotions is a part of your soul, and your will is the other part of your soul, and the fourth part of your soul is your desires. And if you want to see the division of the soul is divided into three basic parts: mind, emotions, and will. And the emotion includes the desire. You see, the emotions have two heads. One is feelings and one is desires. So, you see, all these heavens are divided into three parts. And the spirit is divided into three parts too. You have a conscience, you see, which is one part of the spirit. But let's deal with this here now. What happens when you get perfection inside of you? When you get perfection in you, you get perfection in your spirit. And immediately your spirit begins to push light into your soul. So the spirit begins to enlighten your mind, enlighten your emotions. My. Some of us have wild emotions. And gradually God brings light into these dark areas. And the devils are driven out. Yes, sir. The devils got to go. Because as light come in, darkness flees. So, let me give you a verse for that one. That the Spirit pushes light into your soul. Turn to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 20. And verse 27. The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching through the soul, inward parts of the belly, your translation may tell you, but it means the soul. So therefore, your soul is being, you want to prove it that the inward parts of the belly means soul? Turn around to John chapter 6. Jesus Christ speaking of it here. The Jews generally use words like that, you know, and call their soul their belly, because they felt that their soul was down here. This is where they feel the pain. Amen. They even went as far as taking a towel at the time their waist when they're going to cry. So I want you to look at this John. Did I say 6? I meant 7. John 7 and verse 30. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So you see that belly meant soul. Amen. Because the scripture never did say that anybody was going to be letting out a river out of their natural belly. But it did say living waters flowed out from under the temple. Amen. And ye are the temple of the living God. So, here we are. We see here now the light from the Spirit attacking the soul and enlightening the mind. Heaven is coming into the soul, so that the spirit is perfect and the soul is being perfected. Do you know, brethren, that when a person do you a harm, do you something real bad, that person hurts himself more than he hurts you? Because it destroys the power of life that is coming into his soul. You hurt your own soul nature. When you think evil, when you do evil, when you act evil, when you live in an evil way. You follow what I mean? So those who actually do wrong hurt their own development. Because your spiritual development in the soul, if you keep thinking good, keep thinking all the good things, it begins to flood your soul and your life with good. Do you know that some people who get sick, it's because they think evil? Could you believe that? It stops the power of healing. The power of God flowing through you should heal you, you know. Because can you imagine Jesus Christ walking the earth and men, the woman, hold on to his coat and she's healed? Now, the living God, the same God that was walking out there, is inside of you, touching you, in contact with you, and you still say, something is wrong. There's something that is stopping the flow of power and life from coming through your mind and your emotion. Now, let me give you a little idea about that before I close. I'm running out of time. Heaven up here, the invisible realm of God, power, where all the power and the glory keep just radiating through all the universes. This heaven, whenever you ask God for anything, God immediately calls one of his angels in the second heaven and say, go down and give so and so. Gabriel told Daniel, 21 days, I got your message. Amen. So God said, everyone that asketh what? Receive it. So never think that when you ask, God don't give you. Brethren, you should never have asked. If you ever thought that you asked for something and God didn't give you, it means you should never have asked because you didn't believe. But if you believe that God gives you, you know where the thing is? It has reached into your soul. Because God is a spirit. And if God's going to give you a natural gift, it's got to be translated from spirit to natural. Don't you see what I mean? You ask God for this coat. God, you said, God, I want a coat this color. I want it to be just this. And you tell God exactly how you want. You know what God has to do? He has to come send an angel to tell somebody to make the exact coat you want. Then he has to get them to bring it to the city where you live. And put it in the show window. And when somebody comes to buy it, an angel turn him back, don't buy it one. Until you come along there. And then you have to be obedient too, because God might be sending you down the street and you say, I'm not going anyplace. See, gone your own way. If you're disobedient, how could God give you? Don't you understand? So when you pray, you receive. But when you receive, it's in the spirit. And it has to be translated into the natural before you can receive it. Therefore, you must get it in your mind that it is done. I have prayed, and I tell you, I remember the time when I had the most glorious blessing of a healing is when I prayed for that little girl that day. She was dying. And God told me she's healing. And I begin to rejoice. I felt so good. And when I rushed up and told him she's healed, I said, oh, we have heard that before, you know. She was still there dying. As far as they are concerned, but as far as I am concerned, I see the light of God coming down to her. It took 3 hours before the manifestation of that miracle came forth in her body. But as far as I am concerned, she was healed. I believe it. So I started rejoicing. I went and I ate. I was fasting for her. So I had my lunch and I was down there rejoicing. 12, 1, 2, 3. 3 hours before the phone rang. And they started rejoicing. I said, I'm ashamed of you. You should have been rejoicing from midday when we prayed. You see, this is the condition. You have a father that never fails. Cannot fail, and yet you don't believe him. Isn't that terrible? We all suffer from that problem. We believe what we see, but we have got to stop believing what we see. You know what I'm finding out? That most of the things we see, they are lies. Believe you me. One time I saw a man take a saw and cut a woman in two, and then the woman come right back as whole as anything. I saw it with my own eyes. It didn't happen. It was an illusion. It was a magician's trick. So most of the things you're seeing there, they are lies that are made by the devil to impress you. And if you feel a lie in your body, you're sick, you feel the flu's taking me, everybody's gone down with the flu, rebuke that lie. And it will leave you. Don't believe it. You feel it, it's paining. You're suffering, you feel the pain, you are worried. Stop the worry, turn around and rebuke it and believe God. For when you do that, immediately the angels of God bring deliverance. They can't give you if you are not ready to receive. So here is the point. God is beaming down life, power, energy, life, deliverance for every need, beaming it down. But the soul of man is clammed up, afraid, fear, doubt. And the spirit begins to bombard your soul with life. And as the power comes to you, and you say, oh, praise God, I believe it. And as you believe it, it begins to work, because it has to come through your spiritual soul before it comes into your physical body. Can you understand that? I'm speaking about the construction of God's heaven. Then, when man's soul comes forth in perfection, the whole creation will be delivered. You know what that means? Come on. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You know what you're saying? You're saying, I'm going to turn the whole earth into a heaven. In other words, I am giving you this piece of earth, Lord. And take this earth. And when you take it and make it your heaven, then out there we will make the whole world our heaven. For the kingdom of this world will become the kingdom of God and His Christ. Hallelujah. I'm going to give you a scripture for that. Turn around again to Revelation 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Verse 2. And I, John, saw what? The holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard what now? A great voice out of heaven saying, I'm going to translate it again in my own translation. Behold, God has tabernacled himself within man. Amen. The heaven is coming down here. Down here will be the third heaven. Remember I showed you the three realms of heaven? They're amalgamated. The three realms of heaven here, the third heaven that Paul said he went to into God's invisible realm and saw all these glorious things, that is going to come down here. And this earth will become a heaven. And men will be the teachers, teaching other men, bringing them into the fullness and the glory of God. Hallelujah. Amen. I am going to take another minute and show you another scripture. Turn to Romans 8. Romans 8. And we see in verse 19. Hallelujah. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. So all the physical creation will be redeemed. Every animal out there will stop being a savage beast and be a kindly, loving creature. And the kids will ride the lions up and down, and they'll play with the snakes. Amen. Because that is what is happening now. We are in the process of being perfected. So this body is to be perfected. And when I say the body, I mean the whole physical creation. is being brought into perfection by the sons of God. You see what I'm saying? So the life is coming through the Spirit. And I tell you, brethren, if you just believe God, all things are possible to him that believeth. Praise God. I want you to ask me some questions. And then, before we close, praise the Lord. And you ask the questions. There's much more that could be said, but rather than tiring you with saying too much, I just let you ask me the question. Yes, ma'am.
Whose occupation is things of one?
Well, all right. That is what I left out. When you are born again, the blood of Jesus Christ brings the soul to life, because this was a dead realm, completely dead, lost. And when God sent first, he had to send the natural blood of a natural man to revitalize and to rebirth you, to bring you to life. You see, because as I said, Jesus Christ was the divine transporter. He transported God from the realms of heaven, this high frequency God, this high powered God, into a low wretched creature like a human being. God had to use another human being to come through. Now, he could use Jesus because Jesus was born of God. God was his father. He had no natural father. Therefore, that gene, that seed, which was planted in Mary, was God. Amen? And only two men God made. You see, there were only two men made by God. The first one was Adam, and the second one was Jesus. So God sent Jesus to save Adam. So all of us who Adam made by his transgression, we came under Adam, and so Jesus saved us also. But the situation as it is that within the veins of Jesus Christ, he had the life and the energy of his Father, which is God. So when Jesus died, that energy let loose in our realm, in our atmosphere. And we were able to draw from this power through faith. Because the angels of God and the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, cannot touch you with that blood unless you believe. So, when you talk about the blood of Jesus Christ, you're talking about a principle of life. You're not just talking about a red, sticky substance, because blood exists outside of its natural form. There is a spiritual energy that is let loose when a man's blood dies. When a man dies and his blood goes to the earth. Because in the case of Abel, the blood of Abel spoke to God. And Paul, speaking about it, said the blood of Abel spoke through faith to God. Yeah, it spoke through faith. The blood of Abel spoke to God even though Abel was dead. And said the blood of Jesus Christ speaketh better things than this. Yes.
How does physical death
Well, physical death will continue until the body is redeemed. You see, we receive redemption for our souls, so we can't have soul death anymore. But the redemption for the body cannot be a reality until the fullness of the redemption for the soul comes to pass. That is, we accept the redemption that Jesus Christ has given. We accept the blood, but we have not appropriated it into our body realm, because that's what Jesus was trying to say in the 11th chapter of John. Mary said, but Lord, if you were here, my brother would not have died. He said, I am here. I am not only able to keep him from dying, but I am the resurrection and the life. Amen. So she didn't understand, because then Paul describes it in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 51. And Paul says, some of you shall not die, but you shall be changed. So there's a set of people living here, maybe some of you in this room, who will wait until Jesus come and be changed and don't die. For what we want is this last message, this last trump. How we must be able to change our body through faith. You see, this is what's going to happen. Once your soul comes to that point of grasping the fullness of God, then you can command that body to be changed into an immortal thing that never dies. So Jesus died, but you don't have to die, because Jesus took our death.
Are you saying that with sufficient faith that we would not have to have physical death?
If we do it, when we get the message, yes. With sufficient faith and sufficient power, there is something here that we don't have. The Bible says, at the last trump, and that word trump means a message. Every time a trumpet blows, it's saying something. It's telling somebody. There is something that we do lack in our spiritual experience. And I believe, had it not been that the church had gone on there in apostasy, we would have got this thing already.
Is something that God gave?
Yes, it's in the Word.
He gave salvation in the sense of giving His Son and His sacrifice. Is this another step that God...
It's a step in salvation. You see, in other words, you just accept Jesus as your Savior. Then you have to accept the Holy Ghost to be filled with the Spirit.
Let not mine enemies Thank you.
It filled their hearts with
and there's a peace within. The prophet gave this promise, the Spirit would descend, and some
that frees the soul.